Right now, though, it is time to bring in folks that bring us information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the web, and that is theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com. We get together just about every week, and we talk about just some of the stories that they feature. And we say good morning once again to Marcy and David. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to hear that your old guys are all safe down there, too.
Well, we're locked in like
reasonably safe, anyways.
As safe as it can be. As long as the locks on the door work, we're safe, because there's only three of us here now,
How many are there usually?
Well, we have two salespeople that are normally out with underwriting, but of course that is not happening right now. And we have normally a couple of part-time people that come in, but they have been told to do their work at home. And the Bargain Barn, which we operate as a fundraiser, is shut down. So there are three people there that are out of work. So what, you know the spiel.
We are having the same problem. You know, we've made an appeal for membership because we have no advertising. I mean, we have, most of our advertisers are either not advertising or have canceled.
Well, and what's interesting, I spoke to Rick Cantelli from Salisbury Bank and Trust.
Yes.
We are waiting now that the aid package has been approved by the House and the Senate. We will see what's in it for us as a nonprofit and for you. Small business loans really aren't going to help us out. I mean, we're going to lose.
We are a small business.
Yeah.
We're not a nonprofit.
Yeah, but still, these things that open up. I mean, we're talking about not 5 or 10,000. We're talking about losing probably $25,000 to $35,000, maybe $40,000 worth of money coming into us.
Yes, so are we.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
right.
so it's we're waiting.
And I have to pay it back.
Which means
that we're talking about taking on more debt because this is not going to be free money.
That's exactly right. So
maybe cheap money, but. It's not going to be free money, and we're already in debt. This is why we have appealed, and I must say I am very grateful. We have had a big surge in membership.
That's good. I
mean, over the last week, and I thank our members very much, and I hope that other people who read us will help us out as well.
At the same time. Well, one of the things that just about everything we're going to talk about is around the same topic, and that is the coronavirus or COVID-19.
Yeah, right.
Now, I guess I'm going to ask you about your first story, but I'll remind people that in Great Barrington today at 12 noon, they're going to try their Code Red thing out for people that signed up. So, if you signed up for Code Red and you get it's a test. It's not a real Code Red. It's a test to make sure it's working.
Right.
All right. But they, like a lot of other towns, Great Barrington now has declared a state of emergency as well.
Yes.
Yep. It did so yesterday, and they are. The interesting thing is, of course, that they're also going to likely postpone the annual town meeting because of the way New England democracy works is that everybody in the town gathers in the high school auditorium and decides on and passes each budget item. But now it's likely that this COVID-19 epidemic is going to continue into the spring, and maybe summer, so that such a town meeting is not able to be happened.
You know, Stockbridge. I think Stockbridge is postponing their town meeting as well.
Yeah,
and we're having the same problem down here. The governor has given towns the authority to put together budgets. And have people online. It's a very tricky thing what has to go on because, as you know, right. With our New England form of town meeting, it's the people who really decide how much money gets spent and where it gets spent.
Right.
They haven't formally decided, voted, but they're likely going to decide to postpone it. So it's usually in May, and early May, and they're trying to figure out how to practice physical distancing at the same time have the town meeting.
Yeah.
The selectmen themselves have had, you know, a problem too, because in their meeting, how can they practice this distancing at the same time have their weekly meetings?
Well, they have.
What they have.
They had last night. They had a town meeting. Three of them were there. Oh, actually, two select board members and the town manager. They sat at least 6 feet apart from each other. Several other people phoned in, and then the CT or CST, CTSD, the local public access channel, taped it so that we can also, and it's streamed so we can watch it.
Well, it's interesting.
It was only a half hour long. Nobody there in the audience.
It's interesting the way that all this has to go down. You've got, the second story, which is as important as the first, and what we were talking about, not only us as small businesses, as media, but everybody else that has a small business, whether it's a restaurant or a store, right now, if they are not on the allowed to be open list, every day that they're closed, they're losing lots of money.
That's right, and they're laying off their workers, which is
That's true. And this is a real. I mean, people I think are stunned right now, but it's going to be a real disaster economically, I'm afraid. And there are going to be businesses that are not going to survive.
Here's what I don't understand, and that is that when the Fed lowers their interest rate to 0%, all these loans that are going to be given out to small businesses, I feel, should go out at 0%, like the big corporations get. And thank God with this stimulus package, they have prohibited big companies from taking that money and buying back their stock when it's so low prices.
Yeah, which they would do.
They did.
If Trump had his way, they would. Yeah.
So they have forbidden that.
I don't know that Trump himself.
Yes,
Trump
they.
Was not in
yes,
favor.
I mean, yes, they included
he was on
that.
On the right side of this, actually.
None of his companies, as part of the stimulus bill, can receive any of the benefits from it. That's
is that right? That's written in there.
That's written Trump, in there. Yeah, that is written in there.
Oh, good.
I think that those three things were the big tussle that kept it going, and that's all in there now.
Has it passed? It hasn't passed yet. They haven't voted yet.
Well, the in agreement, it has passed. They're going to all vote on it today.
But
the Senate and the House agreed, and then passed it on to the President, and the President agreed. So now they're going to have, I guess, a formal vote on it.
Oh, good. Well, I hope money starts flowing. Listen, it's becoming frightening. I was very cavalier about this up to now. But I had a conversation yesterday with somebody from Olympia, Washington, who said that they had lost a family friend to this. And I said, well, what were his symptoms? And they said he was fine until he wasn't. And then all of a sudden he couldn't breathe, and 5 days later he died.
It's one of those things. I mean, everybody has to be vigilant. I now know in the state of Connecticut, there are Salisbury, Sharon, and Kent have identified cases of the virus, and across the line, Dutchess County and Columbia County also have identified cases of the virus as well.
Yeah.
Well, we should mention that our stories are about the coronavirus are taken in the context that Governor Baker declared a state of emergency. So himself and so the state is in a shutdown itself. So the selectmen are operating within that context of this is a statewide a statewide effort to slow this transmission of this virus.
And people right. should also understand that the stories that we do on the radio and that you also do at the BerkshireEdge.com are snapshots in time.
Right.
This is such
it's changing.
It's such a fast-changing event.
It's
right.
evolving.
No, that's a very good point.
And
right.
so and so people really have to people are not as used to, shall we say, time stamping as they should be. It's like, okay, that was then, now you got to move forward.
See, David, I tend to think people think that we have huge staffs out there covering everything, and we don't. It's it's basically all of us doing the work.
We are stretched.
Yeah.
We've put our freelancers on semi-hiatus. You know, we've got a tiny staff.
Yeah.
We know.
I don't think people.
I mean, we are in the same situation you are. The other thing that I am finding disturbing, I mean, it's not in the Edge, but it was sent to me by a second homeowner friend of mine who is here from New York, and she said that there was something on there's a Great Barrington Facebook page, and there was a very nasty comment about all the New Yorkers.
Oh, well, I saw it. It's not posted locally, but I saw it, and it was reposted on a couple of pages, and it basically blames New Yorkers that come up here for bringing the virus with them. And what people have to realize, when the New Yorkers left New York because of the way the federal and national government has handled this, if they did come up here, they had no idea they had the virus when they came up here weeks ago.
And now, hopefully, everyone who has come up in the last, you know, over the weekend and whatnot, understands that they do need to self-quarantine.
Well, everyone I know, I mean, obviously I know a lot of people with second homes here.
Sure.
And all the ones I've spoken to are self-quarantining.
Yeah.
I mean, my cousin, who was going to come over here for dinner last week, decided she better not.
So we met
for a walk in the park and stayed 6 feet apart and had a visit.
And in terms of being friendly, you know, it's really good that some people come on and say, yeah, actually, no, they're self-isolating and they're da-da-da.
They are.
Because
everyone I know is self-isolating.
But you have
they're
to...
They're not irresponsible people.
I mean,
these people who have second homes, by and large, are, you know, professional people who are not ignorant and who have, you know, been socially responsible all their lives.
Yeah,
I must say that this is not the response is not as as stringent as is in 9/11. Right after 9/11, our local sheriff here wanted to propose putting guards at Route 23, where it comes in from New York, and preventing New Yorkers who were fleeing New York City from coming into the Berkshires.
Well, hopefully.
And they weren't even bringing a disease.
No, they weren't. They were just, they might have been bringing some dust from, the Twin Towers, but just the same. He wanted to prevent them from coming, from fleeing into the Berkshires escape.
I want to go into another thing, though, and that is what we are doing here on Facebook and on our homepage. We have Corona's updates that go on all the time. You now also have Corona's virus live local updates as well.
We do. We've had that for over
and,
a week.
Since this started, we figured we better have a live feed where news of what is closed and just little alerts from the town and the state. We could just keep people informed because there's so many of them. And
people don't realize when they click on that live link, we have had that since last Thursday, a week now.
Right.
The work that goes into keeping those things updated and putting everything up there is also another task that we never had to do before.
Right. Well, it's we even have a new text message system, that notification system that's gone into effect here, thanks to the thanks to the state. And so people are really, you know, it's interesting how the whole community has really come together to monitor each other and to try to keep each other safe. It's actually, you know, it's heartwarming, actually.
And, you know, your next story, what makes even more heartwarming about that, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey are all quasi-acting in concert with one another, which is so important.
Are.
It's so important. You wish the federal government would do that.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I mean.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I thought you were. That's not a joke.
No.
Okay.
No. We're very lucky to have four governors that are all working in concert with one another, because that's a wide plan like that.
None of that's an accident.
Yeah. Well, the way that works is that's the way you stop the spread of the virus, by states acting in cooperation with one another.
And I'm learning a lot. I am learning a lot about how many people don't know, because of these years and years of everything being national and there only being five stories, or national or international, how things actually work when you get down to having to implement something. And there is plenty of room for governors and mayors and select people, and you know, that's that you gotta run it. And you know, certainly the local news that you are providing and that we are providing is a real indication of how necessary that is, and how
but it's just great to see that party lines, when it comes to these governors, have all been stripped down. And when you have a whole region of states doing the same thing, that's the best way you're gonna hopefully stop the spread of the disease, because more people are aware. Let's not travel in big company. You know,
are any of the governors not of the same party?
A Republican in Massachusetts. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah. Baker's a Republican.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, a Massachusetts Republican.
Yeah, exactly.
Mitt
Romney.
You know,
it doesn't count.
He might not be considered by to be a Republican.
Exactly.
By
just like, let's be fair.
Pardon me, he's a rhino. That's probably it, right?
Well, he's sort of like Bill Weld. He was sort of an independent Republican, too, as our another former Republican governor.
Well, he's a fiscal conservatives,
but social liberals. That's our tradition here in Massachusetts.
So what's going on?
Remember Senator, what was it? Brooke was
Ed
also
Brooke.
Yeah. Was also a Republican. Yeah.
What's going on? Speaking about liberals and do-gooders, you've got a story on the informal group of do-gooders.
Yeah. Well, that's right. We do have a coalition of. Sheila Clary, one of our writers, put together this story about an informal bunch of do-gooders, she calls them, which who are really pulling together to offer services and to make sure that people who are in real distress are, you know, have support, because there are citizens who are going to be really vulnerable as a result of this, not only the disease itself, but the fact that they're going to be out of work, and maybe penniless as a result of this. So there are a lot of people who live kind of on the edge, and so the hospital and the police and the town officials and the library have all been meeting together to pull up some emergency preparation plan. So that to help those citizens who are really on the edge, and it's really remarkable to see people working together like this in an emergency. And you know, it's not like they had some kind of plan ahead of time that they could kind of put into effect. It's that they're making this up. It's really spontaneous. So it's really interesting.
Right.
And gratifying, too.
And they're making face masks and delivering food. And,
well, that's,
you know, it's very moving. Right?
Yep.
Well, that's the old thing, where we're lucky when you live in an area like this, in towns like this, where people chip in. and help. But our last story, out of all the glum and all the this, your last story is your profile of a 90-year-old Ray Gunn.
Ray Gunn.
Yeah, wonderful.
A wonderful man who is we did a profile on him. He's been very active in the restoration of this historic Clinton Church, which has been traditionally a church that was actually the W.E.B. Du Bois himself as a child attended. And it's a building that's been in some disrepair, and they've had a campaign now for a couple of years to restore it. And it's been, people have really stepped up and helped maintain this wonderful little church that's tucked away in a neighborhood of Great Barrington. But it's a quite a historic church that has served the African-American community here for many, many, many years. And as I say, it's W.E.B. Du Bois, when he was here, attended that church. So,
all right.
I'm glad to see people, this wonderful story about Ray, who's 90 years old, and talk about his life here in the Berkshires.
All right.
So it's a look at our a part of the community that we don't always see.
All right. Well, as we wrap up, I want to once again remind people about your coronavirus updates. TheBerkshireEdge.com/coronavirus-live-local-updates. or just go to TheBerkshireEdge.com, right. And the link is right there. But right. These are important links to have. And this is why having local media is so important and critical in times like this. And we just said to you guys.
For you guys, too.
Yeah.
So we're all doing this together to help our communities stay safe, and
we all need community support.
Absolutely,
we do.
We can keep doing this.
And there's something comforting too, about knowing that we are a community.
That's exactly
that we're
right.
Not just living in our little silos, mm-hmm. Without anybody with that can be a sense of loneliness, actually.
Right.
But this just pulls everyone together.
Well, keep safe, you two, and we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, you
okay?
too.
Take care.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh, talk to you next week. Hopefully we'll have better news.
That's exactly right.
Bye.
Take care. That is the Berkshire Edge on air. You'll find them at theberkshireedge.com.